You can turn this morning to 1 John chapter 3. We are a couple of weeks now in our series of the we know verses of Scripture. God is the transcendent God. He is the above us and beyond us God. He's the El Shaddai God. He's the Almighty God who created all things on the earth, beneath the earth, above the earth. All things are upheld by His mighty power. The universe in its entirety exists in Him and for Him, that He may receive the glory and the honor and the praise that He and He alone deserves. He's the El Elyon God. He's the God Most High God, the God who is over everything, greater, more powerful than anything. He is the highest one, the most exalted one. He is the ultimate authority. He's the final authority. He is the only authority. He is the transcendent God. He's the above us and beyond us God, both unknown and unknowable. Yet as well the God who marvelously and miraculously chooses to reveal Himself to us, who walks with us and He talks with us. It's interesting to note this transcendent God, unknown and unknowable. You have sensed His presence within these four walls this morning. Surely you have. Who walks with us, who talks with us, who takes up residence inside of us by way of His Spirit. A couple of weeks ago, we called this not just the paradox of His transcendence, but in fact, the reality, the miracle of it. The transcendence of God may be best expressed to us by way of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 53, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts." He's the unknown and unknowable, above us and beyond us. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. And though it is true, wow, the reason we find to worship Him, because He is that, equally true, wow, what frustration we often experience because He is that. So much of what God does, or maybe it's what He doesn't do. So much of how He works, or maybe it's sometimes how He doesn't seem to work. So much of what He asks of us. So much of where He leads us, or maybe to say it this way, what He seems to lead us into, we don't understand. We can't figure it out. We can't make sense of it. We don't know. Unless I miss my guess, we could go around this room many times over. I don't understand why God didn't do this. I don't understand why God allowed that. I don't understand why God didn't do what I was asked. I was asking. I was praying. Everyone I knew was praying. I don't understand why God didn't come. I don't understand what God's doing in my life. There was this season or that season in my life. I didn't understand it. I couldn't make sense of it. We don't know. And we don't like that. Something about us in our humanity, we're inclined to be very uncomfortable with the unknown, for sure, frustrated and perplexed by it. Consumed by the unknown, we can very easily get ourselves stuck in that frustration. It comes easy to us. All of a sudden, our lives collide with God's ways, which aren't at all our ways, and with God's thoughts and God's plans that aren't even close to ours. And our thoughts and our conversations, our very lives even, can be hijacked, as it were, by the unknown. And it's over and over and over like a broken record. God, I don't understand. I don't understand why you've done this. I don't understand why you've allowed that. I don't understand why you've let this to happen. I don't understand why that hasn't happened yet. God, I don't know why you haven't acted. I don't know why you haven't come through. God, I don't understand why you're doing this to me. I don't understand why you're letting this happen to me. God, I don't get it. Why haven't you done the miracle yet? Why didn't you do the miracle at all? God, I don't know why you're asking this of me. Why, God? Why? Captive, imprisoned, bound by the unknown. We've all been there, right? Just listen, as a pastor, as your pastor, let me speak into your life this morning. That is not good for us. We've all been there. We've all had those questions. We've asked those questions. Circumstances, even seasons of our lives where it seems that we were the broken record. All that we were ever able, it seems, to say to God, all we were ever, it seems, able to say even about God. I don't get it. I don't understand. I don't know what he's thinking. I don't know what he's doing. Stuck. Imprisoned in the unknown, but set free, encouraged, sustained, even strengthened in the midst of it by settling our hearts and minds on what we do know. That's good, isn't it? Stuck is not good. Frustration, not good. Set free, encourage, sustain. Listen to me this morning, and for the couple weeks past and for still a few more weeks to come, you're going to hear it again and again and again. Listen, dear brother, dear sister, it's good for us to unstick ourselves, which means you're going to have to let go of the I don't know and I don't understand and I don't get it. You're just going to have to release that to the Lord and instead settle your heart and your mind and take desperately hold of that we do know. Because it's in that we find life. Don't know, won't know, can't know. God's ways, God's thoughts above us, beyond us. Rather than the frustration of that, rather than letting the unknown and the unknowable take us captive, shipwreck us in our faith, rather than that, we anchor ourselves in that we do know. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. So here we go. We know. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers and the sisters. And all the sisters said, amen. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. This morning, I sincerely pray this for each of us. I believe this for each of us, that we find comfort and we find strength. We deliver ourselves, even as it were, from the frustration of the unknown and the unknowable. As this morning, we set our hearts on this. We know that we have passed out of death into life. How many understand that's good news this morning? From death to life. We know it because we love one another. That's the message this morning. Once more, in the words of John, this is the message you heard from the beginning, and we all will hear once more today. We should love one another. This morning, I want us to consider three things. First, let's call it this, the command to love. The command to love. In Matthew, Jesus is approached by one identified in Scripture simply as an expert in the law. He knew, he understood all things related to the law. He was an expert. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law, is his question. Jesus replied, you know his reply, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. The life that's lived out of an all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and Mark will add all your strength kind of love for God. The life that's lived out of a love for your neighbor as yourself kind of love for others. That life, it'll be perfect. All that's required of us by way of the law, all that's required of us by way of the prophets, all that's required of us by way of Scripture will fulfill it all if we can simply learn to love God and love people the way Jesus commanded us to. Can I share with you, though, this morning as well, that from a negative connotation? Listen to me this morning. You can get a whole bunch of the law right. You can be perfect in a whole bunch of the law. Can I just speak honestly this morning? Many times we as Christians, we know how to get the law right. You know what sometimes we're very easily at missing? The fulfillment of it all, loving God and loving people. Can I just listen to me, brother and sister. Get the law right. Do what God asks you to do. Be obedient to the Lord. Be obedient in the things of the Lord. As you read in Scripture, this that you're to do, and how you're to act, and a life lived in holiness and purity. Obey God in that. But don't miss the most important thing. So many times we as Christians, we can get all the law right, except the fulfillment, the most important part of it, we can forget to love one another. Don't miss loving God and loving people. If you miss loving God and loving people, hear me this morning. Though you're so good in getting the other parts of the law right, you're in fact not really getting any of it right. You're here this morning. Let's just make believe. Let's call that this morning. Let's just make that law. Every good Christian should be in church on Sunday morning. That's awesome. You're here. Law fulfilled. Well done. But do you understand? If you don't love one another in this place, you've messed up all the law. We must love. That's what Jesus says. It's all fulfilled in our love for one another. It's all fulfilled in our love. If we love God and we love people the way Jesus commands us, we'll get all the rest of it right as well. Romans chapter 13, Paul says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. In Galatians, Paul says this, the entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. The command, the greatest command, is clear. Love God for sure. Oh, may we never forget that. May we always be faithful in that. But as well, love the brothers. Love the sisters. In John chapter 13, Jesus says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. In 1 John, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent Jesus as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. Get the picture of this morning. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us. And his love is made complete in us. Verse 16, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. Verse 19, we love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Wow, what strong language, right? We read it earlier in 1 John 3. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. If anyone has the world's goods, sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love? The implication, God's love does not abide in him. We just now read it in chapter 4. Whoever does not love does not know God. And in verse 20, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. John seems to leave no middle ground. It's black and it's white. It's love or it's hate. That's very difficult for us to consider, isn't it? Two responses that you will have with people. You will love them or you will hate them. No, Pastor, I just don't like that guy. I just don't want anything to do with those people. And I would just tell you, I read scripture and I don't think you have the right to do that. You either love them or you hate them. You're either a child of God or God's love isn't in you and you in fact don't even know him. You're either a child of God destined for an eternity in heaven, or you're a liar, John says it, not me. And your destiny is in fact not eternal life, because eternal life can't abide in the heart of a murderer. You can't love God, not if you hate your brother. No wonder the clarity of the command for us. Love the brothers. Love the sisters. Love one another. The second thing this morning, let's call this the action of love. 1 John 3 and verse 17. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. To express love verbally is good. Don't ever be afraid to do that. Don't ever be afraid to tell the brother, to tell the sister, oh, you love them. You appreciate them. It's not weird. It ought not to be uncomfortable for us. I don't want to detract or take away from the message this morning. Just a side note, I think for many of us, unfortunately, our traditions, our experiences, our personalities can very often compromise spiritual things in us. I don't mean to imply that we're all to be robots. I don't mean to imply that we're all to be the same. But there are many times when we let our traditions, when we let our experiences, when we let our personalities detract, take away from us spiritually. Let me just give you this example, and quickly, because I don't mean to take away where we're headed this morning, but maybe it's in the context of worship. And in our church, when we grew up, we never clapped our hands in worship. Worship was very formal. In fact, maybe we didn't even sing. And you know what? My personality, I'm just not very expressive. I'm not very emotional like that. I don't get involved like that. You know what? I'm just going to worship the Lord my own way. I'm not going to clap my hands. I'm not going to lift my hands. It's not my tradition. It's not my experience. It's not my background. It's not my personality. It's not what I'm comfortable with. Can I just tell you, dear brother, sister, at some point, this word has to trump your tradition, your experience, even your personality. Listen, you might not feel that you have what it takes to be salt and light, but this word declares that you are. You might not feel you have what it takes to go and make disciples in all the world, but this word declares that that's exactly what you are to do. And at some point, we've got to let this word decide and determine who we are. You know what? I am this. This is the worshiper, because not because of my tradition and not because the church I belong to, not because everyone else does it. This is what the word says. Clap your hands. Oh, yeah. So I lift my hands and I lift. Oh, I'm not a singer. That's just not my pride. I don't sing. No. I lift my voice and I make a joyful noise before the Lord, because at some point I let my life to be governed by God's word, not my tradition, not my background, not my experience, not my personalities. So, to express verbally our love for one another. Pastor, that's just not who I am. Pastor, I grew up in a home where I was never told by dad or mom that I love. We just didn't say those kind of things. That's just not, I'm not an emotional person like that. I'm not an expressive individual like that. That's not who I am. I'm uncomfortable with that. Listen to me, dear brother, sister. At some point, you're going to have to determine that God's word is more important than your tradition, than your background, your personality. I love you. I love you. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Would you just tell Jesus you love him? I just love you, Jesus. It's okay. It's not weird. It ought not to be uncomfortable. Don't be afraid to speak your love to the Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Amen. We start big. We tell God that we love him and we're not afraid or ashamed to do it. I'm not afraid to lift my voice. I love you, Jesus. I'm not afraid who hears me. I'm not afraid of who's listening in. I'm not afraid of somebody, what they would say or how they would respond as I declare my love for the Lord. And we move in. It's good to tell our spouses that we love them. Jenny, I love you. I was supposed to do that before so then I could tell you I did it and so, hey, good for me, but I forgot. It's good to tell our children. It's good to tell our family. We love them. And then, big God, our spouses, our family, listen to me as we look around the room, to our brother, to our sister, it's good to verbally express our love for one another. Pastor, that's weird. That's uncomfortable. It shouldn't be uncomfortable, and no, it's not weird. Listen to me. It's scriptural. It's spiritual. It's God living in us and out of us when we do that. To express love verbally is good, but hear me this morning. To express love verbally only, that's not good. That's not scriptural, nor is it spiritual. It's not at all like God loves us. It's not God living in us and out of us then. We love not just in word, but in deed as well. You speak your love. Yes, you do. And it's good for us to do that. But maybe more importantly, we show our love for one another. I think scripture lays out for us very clearly how we're to do that, how we're to best express and best show our love for the brothers and for the sisters. It's the one another commands of God's word. If you wonder, how do I love my brother? How do I love my sister? Listen to these. So love one another, not just in word, but indeed to do that, it's to serve one another. Do you remember Jesus taking up the basin and the towel and washing his disciples' feet? It's to live with the brothers and sisters just like Jesus, not to be served, but to serve. To love one another, not just in word, not just in deed, but in deed. It's to submit to one another. It's to be patient with one another. It's to be courteous to one another. It's to set an example for one another in speech and in life and in love and faith and in purity. It's to forgive one another. It's to forgive even as Christ has forgiven us. Even as God in Christ has forgiven us. To love one another, not just in word, but indeed, it's to edify one another. It's to lift one another up. It's to build one another up. It's to encourage your brother. It's to encourage your sister. To love one another is to pray for one another. It's to carry one another's burdens. In Galatians, Paul says this, carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you fulfill the law of Christ. Christ's law for His people. What is it? Galatians 6 would tell us it's to carry one another's burdens. As we live for the Lord and by His mandates and by His instructions, how do we do that? We carry one another's burdens. To love one another is to spur one another on to love and to good works. It's to motivate one another to acts of love. It's to see the God-given potential inside another. Desire for them that they realize that potential. Help for them that they realize that potential. It's wanting for them that their potential becomes their reality. It's you spurring them on so that they can become their best self. All that God intended for them to be and all that God purposed and planned for them to be and to do. To love one another is to accept one another. Acceptance is to receive kindly or hospitably. It's to treat with kindness. One says this, Jesus loved people. He loved thieves, prostitutes, tax collectors, diseased people, poor people, children and his followers. He loved people who were devoted to him and those who were different from him. He even loved difficult and dangerous people, and his love is the same today as it was 2,000 years ago. Because we are loved by him, we are called to love like him. And the extent to which we love people like Jesus loves will ultimately both validate and communicate our faith in him. That's wonderful, beautiful, powerful quote. Let me change it all. Jesus accepted people. He accepted thieves, prostitutes, tax collectors, diseased people, poor people, children, his followers. He accepted people who were devoted to him and those who were different from him. He even accepted difficult and dangerous people, and his acceptance is the same today as it was 2,000 years ago. Because we are accepted by him, we are called to accept like him. And the extent to which we accept people like Jesus accepts will ultimately both validate and communicate our faith in him. To accept one another like Jesus, like Scripture would command, it's a selfless acceptance. It accepts regardless of friendship or reward or even reciprocity. It's an acceptance that removes self from the equation. It's an acceptance that asks not a what's in it for me question. To accept one another like Jesus, it's a complete acceptance. Everyone. It's accepting the unacceptable, the undeserving, the unsuspecting. It's accepting the disagreeable. It's accepting the outsider. It's even accepting the sinner. It's accepting those who don't always believe like you do, who think, who do, who see the world differently than you do. To accept one another like Jesus, it's a gracious acceptance, an immediate acceptance. A patient acceptance, an authentic acceptance. Authentic in this, to truly accept one another, then I have to let you be you. I accept you, not you in the hopes of you'll be just like me. I accept you. I have to recognize that God created you to be you, not to be like me. God made us to be different. And if we're going to really accept one another, we're going to have to learn to be good with that. An authentic acceptance. I don't just tolerate you. Oh yeah, that's the weird brother who's not like the rest of us. That's the crazy sister. I don't just put up with your uniqueness. I celebrate you and I thank God for you. Amen. When was the last time you thanked God for someone who wasn't at all like you? When was the last time you prayed that prayer? God, I thank you that so-and-so is not at all like me. I celebrate them. I thank you, God, for them. We celebrate. We appreciate. Romans chapter 15. Accept one another just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Listen to this. You are a walking advertisement of the wonderful love and acceptance of Jesus. People will see you and your good works. They will see you accepting people selflessly, completely. graciously and patiently, immediately and authentically. People will come in here bruised and battered, broken and messed up, and they'll find here in this place a people that will love them and a people that will accept them even when they're least expecting it and least deserving it. Instead of arms extended to keep them at a distance, there will be arms opened, inviting and welcoming them. They'll be different and they'll even be disagreeable. They'll be really weird, but they will find here in this place a people that will celebrate them, a people that will applaud them, a people that will appreciate them, a people that will believe they are invaluable and irreplaceable. They will find a people living out, accept one another as Christ accepted you. And when they see that, listen to me, New Life, when they see that here and in us, they will give glory and praise to God. Paul says so in Romans chapter 15. You want to know how to give God glory? You know what? You want to know how to let God get glory from your life? Learn what it is to accept one another. To love one another, not just in word, but in deed, is to honor one another. To honor is to humble ourselves before one another. It's to value one another. We value by respecting one another, by listening to one another, by spending time with one another. We honor, we value one another when we include them in our lives. We value by helping one another, by holding in high esteem with respect. We speak of in respect. That's how we honor our brothers and sisters. We honor and value by prioritizing them, by putting them above self. To love one another is to be devoted to one another. It's to recognize that we need one another. To give ourselves to one another. To be devoted to one another is to give up one's all to another. Do you remember the story of Naomi and Ruth? Ruth to her mother-in-law, "Your God will be my God, and your people will be my people." It's Ruth in this moment giving up herself and instead devoting herself to Naomi. That's what it looks like for us to be devoted to one another in this place. In Romans chapter 12, Paul writes this: be devoted to each other like a loving family. One writes, the kind of love that is this spoken of in Romans 12, this kind of family love, this kind of devotion love, it allows for weaknesses and imperfections, communicates, deals with problems, affirms others, and has a strong commitment and loyalty to others. To be devoted to one another is that. It's to be loyal to one another. You don't give up on family. One pastor says, all those devoted in faith to Jesus Christ must be devoted to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ with a sincere, kind, and tender affection. We must be concerned for our brothers and sisters' welfare, needs, and spiritual condition, sympathizing with them and helping them in their sorrows and troubles. Listen to this. Imagine a community of believers that are pursuing the Lord, but are also pursuing each other, making a call, listening to someone who's in a storm, or even taking an offering for someone who cannot pay their rent, and seeing Jesus right in the middle of doing life. I know life is busy. I know life is complicated. I know life is tough. Nevertheless, I know that we can have a better life when we are in a community that is devoted to one another. To love one another is to bear with one another. It's to teach one another. To fellowship with one another. It's to be hospitable to one another. It's to confess your faults to one another. In Galatians, Paul writes, we remember before our God and Father how you put your faith into practice, how your love made you work so hard. To love one another, not just in word, but in deed. It's your labor, it's your work, prompted by, birthed out of your love for somebody. We do many things on any given day. What Paul says, the love things are the greatest things. The love things are the most memorable things. That's what it looks like to love. Here's more. So I asked towards the latter part of this week, just different ones in the church. No rhyme or reason. Hey, tell me a story of a time when you experienced love from a brother or sister. So this morning, a few of those, actually a good many of them, from Mike. This is what love action, love in action looks like to Mike Bricker. The church members have always been there with a smile for us. When I was between jobs, the church helped us out. A few members even gave me small jobs to do for them. The prayers are always comforting, knowing there is someone in your corner with you. I have always had someone step up when I needed a little help. How about that? The church members have always been there with a smile for us. You know what? Sometimes the simplicity of love in action, you know what it looks like? Sometimes just a smile for a brother or sister that's discouraged. Brandon writes, when I first started going to the church, I played around with the guitar while I was in high school, but never really put any effort into it. Then one day, Mike was talking to my parents and my grandma at a church function, and Mike said he was looking for a guitar player because he wanted to play bass. My grandma mentioned that I had just started to play again with my friend who played drums. Mike gave her his number and told her to have me call him if I was interested. So I called Mike and we met up. I didn't even know what notes to tune my guitar to, and he patiently taught me what I know. After a few practices, I was not ready to carry the guitar playing on my own, so he played with me until I was ready. Mike is the most talented person on our worship team, and for him to have the patience to get to know me and help me become a guitar player has meant the world to me. This is what church is about. Not what can you do, but what is your calling and how can I help you get there? That's awesome. Should have just read that and we would have been done like 30 minutes ago. That's great, Brandon. That's exactly what church is all about. How can I help you get there? When was the last time you asked a brother or sister, where are you going and how can I help you get there? What's your vision? What's your dream? What's your God-given goals? What's your destiny that you see? Where do you want to be? Where do you want to get to? And how can I help you to get there? To see so love in action looks like this. The story that comes to my mind is when I decided to make a move, I realized there were decisions I needed to make. Moving from a house with a basement and a garage into a one-bedroom apartment, what was I going to do with all my stuff? That's when the Brickers came to my aid, not only with the move, but with where to store my possessions. Mike helped me with putting a shed on his property, putting it together. They're also letting me park my work van on their property. Mike is like the son I would like to have. The main thing I would say, as a brother in the Lord, he stepped up to the plate, and the Brickers have shown me true Christian love. To marshal love in action, I don't feel that I have a bees to honey personality. We're not going to comment on that. We're just going to pass right over it. My wonderful, incredible sense of humor is just wanting to flow out. I don't feel that I have a bees to honey personality, yet New Life accepted me as a member of this family from the day I started attending church. Marianne writes, Marshall had been a member of our church family for some time. He never stopped asking me to attend church with him, assuring me that I would feel the love of this church. Knowing a little the rules of the Assemblies of God, I feared that I would be rejected since Marshall and I were divorced and remarried previously. What a joy our church was and is to me. Several of the ladies invited me to join them in their ministries. I feel love from this every single day. For example, Don and Shirley have dropped off meals and desserts for us during my many medical procedures, and many other family members sent cards and called to check on me. I look back at my first fears of rejection and know how silly those fears were. The Assemblies of God's not so bad after all. That's how I interpreted what Marianne said. It is wonderful to know that I have a beautiful family in Christ, and thank God for every one of them. I don't know if you know Doug and Barbie Chilson. Doug and Barbie attend Trinity and just connected with the church at different times, but Barbie went through a cancer battle some 8 years ago, and we prayed for her. And Doug knew that I was asking for some sort of testimonies, and he writes to us, diagnosed with stage 3 ovarian cancer during her recovery from major surgery, 3 months of chemo treatment, Barbie was blessed with many prayer warriors and cards of encouragement. Over the last 8 years, she has on occasion pulled out the cards and randomly read them. They continue to give her comfort and strength and peace, uplifting to know so many friends and family thought of her and loved on her. The Lord healed her and she's been cancer-free for 8 years. Thanks to the loving support she had, your cards and words mean so much to someone who's feeling alone and suffering even years later. Jenny writes, I have been blessed time and time again. I've been blessed in different ways, different times by each one of you. The first thing, though, that comes to my mind, every time I look out my dining room window or walk to the church, I get a fresh reminder of what a blessing you all are. I find myself talking out loud a lot and expressing some of my ideas to you all. One such idea was to have a garden. It was new to me. So to spend a lot of money on something that may only be a short-lived idea or that I might flop at wasn't a good thing, yet some guys overheard me or maybe I talked to them and they made me the greatest raised garden bed ever. To hear an idea and then to find a way to bless someone with that makes you feel loved. Emma, Jenny takes the kids to Trinity on Wednesday nights, and Emma wrote, every Wednesday at Trinity I go to sign into youth. There's this one leader who always gets really excited to see me. And she smiles and she hugs me every time I see her. This makes me feel loved. Sharon Olinger, Love in Action. It's like this. I've received Christ-like love and support from all the ladies of our prayer group. In the past, I've experienced very difficult times in my personal life. The ladies were always there for me, would listen to me, pray with me, and for me any way they could to support me. I'm so grateful for each lady and love each of them. Linda Weber blessed me by taking me for a surgical procedure, staying with me and encouraging me throughout the process. Thank you, Linda. I love you. To Deborah, there was a time when I received Thanksgiving dinner preparations that lasted me almost 2 months. Then I remember when I needed someone to listen to me, and Pastor was there until I no longer needed to vent. Numerous times, my friends, Carol and Chuck, blessed me with electronics, a mattress, and box springs, just because. I also received Sherry's berries for Valentine's Day. I'm blessed, highly favored, and deeply loved. I'm also thankful for all the times I've been blessed with tech support. Just a couple others. Leanne writes, I've had many of these moments at New Life, quite a few recently. I think it's just the power of knowing someone cares enough just to ask how things are going with whatever is going on. How about that? To ask somebody sincerely, authentically, how's it going? What's going on? To mean it. To listen to what they have to say. Sometimes over the past couple of months, I've been having a tough time because my grandma was quite ill and she eventually had 2 heart attacks in the same week. There were pressures in other areas of my life that made things very stressful, and generally I was feeling quite overwhelmed. I was praising God through it, but it's truly a tough time during those weeks, and I can't remember all the details due to how much was going on. Multiple people reached out. When I came one particular Sunday, Carrie just asked me with a lot of genuine concern, how is everything going with your grandma? It was so kind and it meant so much to me. It meant a lot to know someone was thanking and praying for that situation in my life for my grandma. Again, I think it interesting. I wonder if we would have asked Carrie, would she have thought of this moment? If the question would have been reversed, Carrie, tell me a time when you really loved on someone. I think so often we're thinking the big, boy, I don't know. When was the last time I gave 2 months worth of groceries? When was the last time I bought somebody? When was the last time I gave a day or a week or a month to help somebody? But in fact, that's not always what love looks like. Sometimes it's just catching someone in the back of the church and say, hey, how's it going with your grandma? It's interesting, isn't it? Leanne remembers it. I might be wrong, but my guess would be that Carrie would not remember that as a great act of love on her part. But Leanne does. Now, Sister Donna always checks in with me on many Sundays, and I love that. That particular Sunday during a prayer time, Sister Donna just placed her hand on my shoulder and prayed for me and shared a word she had from the Lord, and it meant so much. She hugged me afterward, and it really blessed me in a way that I think was a reflection of God's love. So many people reached out during that time in various ways. I was blessed by each of them. There are a million other stories I could share, really. Marshall checks in on me almost every Sunday for the last 6 weeks to see if my car has been fixed yet, and even test drove it to help me figure out what was wrong. I really appreciate that so much. I'm just so glad you asked. I think I need to tell these people how much they've blessed me. Anyways, I could go on and on. Hope this helps. Lisa writes this, I felt loved since I first started attending New Life. Evelyn, Shirley, Marianne from the beginning have reached out and shown love and concern. I kind of hate to name names because the whole church has shown me love from the beginning. I think it's important to show God's love to others, to be friendly and welcoming, because you never know what a person may be going through. I think the ladies who voluntarily clean the church are a demonstration of love. And everyone who enjoys a clean church said, Marshall always being willing to work on my car, not just mine, but everyone's. I guess most recently would be the outpouring of love and concern for me when Mom passed away. The whole time Mom was sick, people were asking about her and praying for her, always showing their love and concern for me and for Mom. Those who prayed, the ladies who prepared the funeral dinner for us, it was awesome. To Linda Weber, love in action looks like this. The very first time I came to the church, I had been to many, looking for the right church. I always prayed, Lord, if this is the one, let me feel it in my heart. When the service was over, a couple came to me, welcomed me, asked me to lunch. I would have never went, but I thought maybe. This is to be my church. I have to take a step of faith too. So I went, and here I am. I told them about how my son died and brought me to the Lord, how I needed a church. They listened to me. It's what I needed. Here I am today with my loving church family. And we're glad to have you, Linda. That's what it looks like to love your brothers and your sisters. 1 John chapter 3, little children, let us stop just saying we love people. Let us really love them and show it by our actions. The easy thing is to talk love. The hard thing is to show it. The easy thing is to wish one well, offer to pray, speak a God bless you over their need. But that's not the love thing. The love thing is the hard work thing. It's to do something. New Life, may it be that our love makes us to do more than just talk a bunch about how we love a bunch. Instead, may it be that our love makes us to work hard. That we really know how to love people, and it's seen and it's shown. It's evidenced by our actions. Can I ask you this morning, what love thing are you going to do? The hard work love thing. Not the talk love, but the action love. The like Jesus kind of love. What love thing are you going to do to show devotion to one another out of a desire to honor one another? What love thing are you going to do so as to share with those in need, so as to practice hospitality? What love thing are you going to do in order to edify one another, to build up, to encourage a brother or sister? What love thing are you going to do that is carrying another's burdens? Once more, little children, let's stop saying we love people. Let's really love them and show it by our actions. So this morning, the command to love, the action of love, and we conclude the example of love. We could this morning consider the leader that greets Emma with a hug and a smile every Wednesday. We could consider the men who built Jenny a garden, or the couple that took Linda to lunch, or Mike who taught Brandon the guitar, who built Cecil a shed, or Sister Don or Carrie who spoke words of life to Leanne, or all who prayed for Lisa, sent cards of encouragement, prepared for a most beautiful funeral dinner. And those are just a few of the stories represented in just this church family. We could consider those as examples for us to do like they did. But in fact, all of them that we would consider, they are simply following His example. And so this morning, it's Jesus we look to. 1 John 3, by this we know love, that He laid down His life for us. And so we ought to lay down our lives for others. He laid down His life for us. We lay down our lives for our brothers, for our sisters. In the end, how do we best love the brothers and the sisters? We love them as Jesus would and as Jesus did. We give up ourselves for them. This morning, you may find yourself in the midst of the unknown and the unknowable. And one more time, because I always want you to hear me closely on this, I don't mean to be insensitive to what you're going through, the questions you have, or the frustration you maybe feel, but hear me today. Forget about it. The unknown, the unknowable, forget about it. Instead, think on this. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brothers. We are not called to have all the answers, but we are called to love one another. We are not promised all the answers, but we are promised the love of God in us so that with the love of God, we might love others. And in that, we find life. Don't know what God is doing? Filled with questions. Why? Listen to me. In the midst of even the unknown, you can have life today. You can experience life today. How so? 1 John 3. Love the brothers. Love the sisters. Love one another.